I've got a verse for you. I have a verse for you. Have I ever got a verse for you? Try this on for size. Ecclesiastes 3:1, and I quote, "For everything there is an appointed time," unquote. This is Martin Zender bringing to you not my wisdom, but the wisdom of King Solomon. For everything there is an appointed time. I'd like to emphasize I'd like to emphasize seven words in this quote, and the words are, "For everything there is an appointed time." Those are the seven words that I would like to emphasize in this seven-word sentence, written for us under inspiration of the Holy Spirit by King Solomon. All right, having emphasized what I want to emphasize there, let's put super emphasis on everything. For everything, there is an appointed time. For your breakfast today, for the time you're going to go to bed, that's an appointed time. It's appointed to you what time you're going to go to bed. That's what's meant by everything. If you have a problem with the word everything, you're not sure what it means, look it up in the dictionary. I think it means everything. That's the definition of it, everything. Would it be an adjective? No, describes everything. It's everything. There is an appointed. Now I want to focus on appointed. Appointed. That means designated beforehand. It is meant, the time is meant for that thing. For everything, there's an appointed time. So the thing has a corresponding time. Whatever thing exists, it has a corresponding time. And I want to focus on is. There is an appointed time. It's not like there shall be an appointed time. Or by some miracle, an appointed time will show up in the nick of time. No, it exists because God set it in place before the thing happened. And so, in the fullness of times, that's another great quote that I told you about earlier. When the completion of the time came, God dispatched his son. That's Galatians 4:4, I think. I'm going to verify that in the Concordant version because, for some reason, Bader just has a G there. It's got to be Galatians. A G. How about a little help? G-A-L, period. Throw me a bone here. All right. My scriptures are on the floor. Hang on a second. How can Martin Zender treat his scriptures with such disrespect? Sometimes I use this Bible to hold things up. You know, like it holds up my fan once in a while. Like this, if you're watching the laundry cam. This is a workman's Bible. This is not a relic. This is not a decoration for a table. This is a workman's Bible. And if I need it to prop up my fan or if I need it to balance a table or something, I will use it for that. I'm going to Galatians now because it has to be Galatians. I know it's not Genesis. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 4, now when the full time came, God delegates his son, come of a woman, come under the law, that he should be reclaiming those under law, that we may be getting the place of a son. Now seeing that you are sons, God designates the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And all this stuff happens in accord with an appointed time. For everything, there is an appointed time. And we know that Christ was slain before the disruption of the world. So when the full time came, God delegates his son. It was already designed. It was already planned. It was already thought of. And then it just is a matter of the passage of time. And when each second clicks, whatever is supposed to happen in that second happens. So thank you, Solomon. Thank you, Paul. Amazing that these two were on the same page, separated by thousands of years. It's the Holy Spirit of God that does this. Now we're going to go through the chronology of the first 2,000 years. How does that sound for you? The account of the creation, Genesis 1:3 to Genesis 2:3, shows that here God begins a chronology, a sometimes very boring chronology. But we hear about the important cycle called the day. This is review, some of it. I'm reviewing some of the things I covered before I went into the sub-series the era. I forgot the name of it already. The Limited Era. He begins an important cycle called the day because God is trying to help us, and he's giving information to those who care that we will be able to figure out the time and the season of his second coming. First coming, second coming, what do you want? What else do you want? First coming, his second coming. These are the most important events of the Aeonian times. And once we figure out the pattern, then we can take it from there. And it's so interesting of why God states certain things to be. And now it's all making sense to me. It's all making sense to me why we need to know how old Noah was when the flood started. It's very now how old Terah was when Abraham was born. How long the reigns of the kings of Judah were. Now I understand it. When I first read the Bible in 1979, I went and bought a New American Standard Bible. I'm reading through all these chronologies and all these lifespans, and I thought, what is this? Now I see. How many years later? 1979, 89, 99, 2009. Almost 40 years later. 2 years shy of 40 years later. Now I'm studying this chronology. I'm studying the final years of Millennium 6. I realize now how important it is to God that we be able to know these times. And now I see why all these pegs are in there. And I'm going to, again, go through the time bridges with you. As I've been promising, so shall I deliver. So we see the important cycle of the day characterized by the terms evening and morning. These are the literal days of creation. And I don't care how smart science thinks it is, true science will verify whatever God says, because Genesis is history. I'll repeat that. Genesis is the history of your world. Now I'm sounding like a radio announcer. Here's the history of your world, announced in the book of Genesis, 6 days of creation followed by 1 day of stopping. Adam created in a single moment as an adult male. Eve pulled from him during an epic nap. Adam going toward his wife for the first time. We have sexual eroticism. And now a word from our sponsors. This is your history. Your history begins with Adam. Your times begin with a cycle called the day, characterized by evening and morning, which we still have. And God said that this pattern will not stop until he's completed with his plans. Now, on the new earth, there's no need for the sun or the moon because the glory of God illuminates the new earth. So this cycle, this continuous going of evenings and mornings. I told you God's in a big, fat, hairy, glorious, predictable rut. There was an evening and a morning the first day, Martin. That's right, and it hasn't stopped since. How boring, how dull can you get? And yet with each evening and morning, a day passes, and we're 1 day closer to the snatching away. That is, when we rise to meet Christ in the air, which also has an appointed time, because Solomon says, for everything, there is an appointed time. I don't know if you can hear the thunder in the background, but this is epic. There's a storm going on right now in Fort Lauderdale at the bottom of the peninsula. I've always loved the look of this state. Even when I was a kid, I looked at a map and I saw Florida is hanging out there at the bottom right-hand side of the United States. It looked just amazing to me. It's like so obvious, so there, so jutting out into the ocean, and I'm at the bottom of it, on the edge of it. Perfect place for me to be at the end of this eon, the final years of Millennium 6. So we are taught, educated, how God had already pointed out to Adam that the lights of the firmament, the lights in the heavens, served for the determination of certain times. That is Genesis 1:14. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm borrowing from the book Chronology of the Bible. And now we're going to go. Now we're getting into the times. This is what you've longed and lusted for as I get onto different topics. Chronology of the Bible, F.H. Bader. I don't believe everything this guy says. No, I don't. He's got some strange ideas about other things. And I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm not saying he's right. I love his translation, the Dabhar translation, D-A-B-H-A-R, also called the Writ, very literal, more literal. In fact, in the concordant literal New Testament, believe it or not, this is called Chronology of the Bible, F.H. Bader. This guy is like a mathematician here. This book looks like my high school algebra book. In this connection, the term year is mentioned. Now, the days of creation were literal days. but we're using a verse, a key, Psalm 90, verse 4, which says that 1,000 years is as a day to God, or a watch in the night, which is very comforting, that God's not losing track of things. So the term year is mentioned. God, here's the takeaway, God taught Adam to count the years according to the course of the sun, and the sky don't lie. So forget calendars, forget the Gregorian calendar or the Roman calendar, or forget the Sports Illustrated swimsuit calendar. Whatever calendar you have, this is in accord with the course of the sun. That's why God put the sun there. It's a giant, I don't know, maybe I could call it a pendulum, a timepiece. The sun, interesting, I just thought of this. It's not only the light that brings life to everything, but it's also a timepiece, because how it appears to move evening and morning, evening and morning. As well, in the account of creation, God drew attention to the fact that the seventh day is a day of completion. You'll find this in Genesis 2:2. Oh, thanks, I see. Bader puts GN when he wants Genesis. When he wants Galatians, he just puts G. This guy's a master of brevity. Not very funny, though, I'll tell you that. Brevity is the soul of wit. The guy's not funny. This guy would not be the one to put a lampshade on his head during a party, Bader. Not this guy. He's very brief. He doesn't have time to put G-A-L for Galatians. Give me a G, G, and he's done. He's moving on. So I have to check up to make sure that's what he meant. So seven is a time of completion. And this is when we first learn, really, in Genesis, that seven is the perfect number. Seven is God completing something. Seven is God being satisfied. Seven is God having the hors d'oeuvres, going through the meal, eating the dessert, and then letting out a satisfying belch as he completes it. And it's just like, burp, that's seven. Burp, seven. Get it? Burp, seven. You're done. That's it. Complete. Everything's done. From the hors d'oeuvre to the burp, you're finished. It's a complete cycle. So with a seven, the completion of the week is reached, and now we see a pattern of times for God. And he even calls the 77s of Daniel 70 weeks, 77s of years. God loves the week. He is absolutely infatuated with his own creation. It's like he puts it on a shelf and stares at it, or hangs it from a string like a mobile, like those mobiles you used to have on your crib when you were a baby, and you just stare at it fascinated. And it's a structure, and it has things hanging from strings, and it kind of moves around. There's little baubles at the end. God creates the week, and he admires it, and now he sets it up for all to see. This is great. And the thing is, the funny thing is that all the notables of this world, nobody can escape the frickin' week. Did you notice that? This stupid thing God did, nobody believes. Nobody even believes that there was a creation week. It's all evolution. Evolution doesn't go by the week, does it? No. It goes by like periods of millions of years, which is bogus. You take one period of 1 million years, another period of 10 million years, and all these crazy times that we cannot even comprehend of in our minds. We have no, like, I used to go to the Smithsonian Museum, the Natural History Museum, and you see a sign under the dinosaur bones. This dinosaur lived 600 million years ago. BS. BS. No human being can wrap his or her head around 600 million years. But we can wrap our head around the week, because it continues to be the building block of the month. The month is the building block of the year. And all these things are dictated to us by the sun, which is out there naked for all to see, unless you live in Pennsylvania or Ohio or Michigan, in which case clouds cover it 95% of the time. But when the sun does come out, look at it. It's been there for, not directly, it's been there for 6,000 years. Well, it might have been there longer than that, because we had a first earth that was disrupted, and God causes the light to come out. It's still there. But anyway, that's a study for another time. So I love the week. And the people of today still use it. They can't help it. Whenever you say, I'll be there Monday, or you schedule something for when? For Wednesday? If you're working in a 600 million year time period, well, if you're working in this nebulous, vague, scatterbox, stupid, redundant, ridiculous, out there marijuana smoking, we have no idea what we're talking about time frame, such as 600 million years. You're shot. So even the people who poo-poo the creation, who poo-poo the book of Genesis, they still organize their lives from the president to the queen to the movie stars, to the rock stars, to the gods and goddesses of this eon. They arrange their schedule according to days and weeks. And by this, they are tacitly admitting the wisdom of Genesis. They're tacitly admitting the veracity of the account of creation in Genesis, which is your history. And it's the history of the earth. By the way, there's a little film on Netflix that a friend of mine pointed out to me. I think it's called Genesis as History, or Genesis is History, where these geologists and scientists, they go out into the Grand Canyon and they're showing you the strata of the rocks, and they're saying that this did not form over millions of years of sediment being added on. These things that you see on the earth today, whether you go to the Rocky Mountains or the Appalachian Mountains or you go to the Grand Canyon, what you are looking at is not the result of millions and millions and millions and millions. It gets stupider with every million you add. And millions of years of erosion. It's all caused by cataclysmic events that happen in a second. One guy said, I haven't seen the whole thing yet, but in this film, one guy says that this can happen in a fraction of a second, what you're seeing in the Grand Canyon. It can happen in a fraction of a second, not millions of years. It's so the opposite of what the principles of this eon tell us it is, which I love when the wisdom of man is made foolishness, because God is already giving us a record of things in Genesis. If the flood of Noah doesn't satisfy you for a cataclysmic event, try the disruption of the world of Genesis 1:1. The world became a chaos and vacant. That was also by water. The flood of Noah and the disruption of the world were both by water. I can't help but go back to the week. So simple. I'll see you Monday. What's that? Why do you say Monday? Why do you say that? And why on the radio does the DJ look forward to the weekend? 6 days to the weekend. All they care about is the weekend. I've told you this before. It makes me crazy. Hump day. What's hump day? Why do you have a hump day? Because it's halfway to the weekend. What's the weekend? End of the week. What's the week? Where did the week come from? Came from the same hand that created the first man. It's the hand of God. And it's dictated to us by the sun, evening and morning. Nobody escapes that. The most God-defying person has to endure, or should I say, be blessed by, evening and morning. And the first evening and morning is discussed for us in Genesis. That's your history, if I haven't mentioned it. I love the week. I wish my parents had hung the week from my crib. Maybe they did. Maybe that's why I'm talking like this. Maybe that's why I'm crazy for the week. They might have. Yeah. All of a sudden, I really love calendars now. Because the calendar has 7 squares for what? The week. It's inescapable. If you can escape the sun, you can escape the week. If you can escape the night, you can escape the week. If you can escape the day. Even movie stars wake up. When? In the morning. Some of them wake up at night because they live like crazy people. They creep around during the night and they sleep during the day. They sleep during the what? They sleep during the what? Yeah, the day. Because they can't escape the day. Because the day was invented by God so that we could count them. So that we can, A, be assured that God isn't a big, fat, hairy, glorious, predictable rut. And B, so that we can know when Jesus, his son, is going to come back to unseat the religion and the politics of humanity in order to instigate. Now, is that a good word to use? Instigate. Sounds like there's a bit of treachery involved in that word. Instigate. God's an instigator. Okay, I'll go with it. He's going to instigate his kingdom. When? At the appointed time. When's the appointed time? All you got to do is count the days.